This episode is brought to you by Saks.com. At Saks.com, it's easy to find your new vibe. Dive into the Western trend with gold cowboy boots from Staud, or go full 90s throwback with platforms from Prada. You can shop for everything on your agenda, whether it's a breezy Zimmermann dress for a garden party or a bright Chloe blazer for brunch. Find inspiration for your new vibe every day at Saks.com.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Hey guys, welcome back to Pure Skin Talk. My name is Devin MacArthur and I am back, baby. I am back. 15 days of, quite honestly, hell. And I feel so much better. Oh my gosh, I've never had a flare like that. I have never felt like that. I thought every day I was going to lose my mind because you just feel trapped within your own body. And my fatigue was so bad. And, you know, fatigue is not tired. It's not the same thing. Fatigue just knocks you on your butt. And it gives me so much like brain fog that it's just hard to do anything. So I didn't work much and I was going crazy. Do not recommend getting RA. It's not fun, but I feel so much better. I still have, I always call it like a migraine hangover when I get a migraine and then the next day, like I don't have the migraine, but I live in fear of getting it again. It's kind of how I feel. This is going to take a few more days, I'm sure, for me to wake up and feel like, okay, I'm okay. This isn't going to happen. But with RA, it really can. I mean, I literally could wake up tomorrow and be in so much pain again. But I'm hopeful that 15 days means that I won't have another flare for a while. I mean, listen, I'm crossing my fingers. But they upped my medicine, so hopefully that will help. But anyway, I'm just so happy to be back and working again. It feels really good. And I missed all of you guys. I missed social media. It's funny. Like, I mean, I know I love my job and what I do, but when you really can't do it, it's hard. It's frustrating. But anyways, I'm back and I'm so happy. And we're going to talk about facials today. So much to discuss within a facial and how to choose an esthetician and all those things. So, oh, I did want to say one thing. Now, I did post about this, but I just wanted to mention that, you know, if I have any estheticians listening or, you know, really anybody, you know, be careful with your words. So I had a client come in and she was telling me that she went to the doctor to get some stuff on her skin checked out. And he told her that she had barnacles on her skin. She's like, barnacles? What? They're called seborrheic keratosis and they're benign. They are not that big of a deal. My thermoclear can get rid of them, but they're common. So many people have them. And I just can't believe a doctor said, you have barnacles, because he didn't have to say that word. He could have used seborrheic keratosis and then explained what they were, because let's be honest, nobody wants to hear that. So it just made me think, like, we just have to be careful with our words and how we explain things to clients, because, and this goes in with my topic today of facials. We don't need to make anybody feel worse about their skin or their issues or whatever. So instead of saying barnacles, let's just call them seborrheic keratosis. And then either way, you have to explain what they are. You can't just tell somebody they have a barnacle on their skin and then walk away. You have to explain what it is. So why not just use the proper term instead of the slang that's been created that would make somebody feel, you know, like they belong in the ocean or something. That's just how I feel. Now, I don't get sensitive about stuff like that. I don't even know if sensitive is the right word. I don't get bothered. My client wasn't bothered. She actually just laughed about it. I don't get bothered by stuff like that. But there's other things that bother me that may not bother somebody else. So I just think we need to be a little bit more aware of the words that we use so maybe we don't hurt somebody's feelings unknowingly or call them old or whatever. And, you know, we can just avoid the word barnacle in the future. All right. I just wanted to say that because I did think it was important. So let's just get on with the rest of the podcast. Let's just talk about facials. I'm always surprised by some of the things that I hear in my treatment room about my clients' experience with facials from other estheticians. Some haven't received a facial in many years because their one experience was so bad. Some left feeling worse about their skin, and some didn't really know that their skin could look good after a facial because it's never happened before. As an esthetician, I consider it my job to make someone feel good and give them hope about their skin. It's never too late to have better skin. I don't care how old you are. I don't want any client of mine to feel like they have gross, ugly, or embarrassing skin. We all have issues and we all want to feel more secure about them. I don't lie to my clients, but I give them ways to improve their skin. And during the facial, I make sure I do everything I can to make them feel better. And I just think that that's what we should do. Being with your esthetician should be informative. I am always surprised, again, by how many people have no idea what happened in their facial. I'm in these groups on Facebook and, you know, I even see it on TikTok and Instagram, whatever, and people are like, they'll ask a question about what happened to their skin after a facial. And I will ask questions like, what did the person use? What, you know, do you know what kind of facial you got? And so many people are like, I don't know. And maybe they were told and they just don't remember, but I just can't believe that many people don't remember. And that many people haven't said, well, she did tell me, I just forgot. They just don't know. And I think it's important to know what happened. They have no idea if an acid was used or, you know, what kind of facial they received or an enzyme or exfoliation or did they get microdermabrasion? Like, people don't know these things. So when a new client comes in, for me, I always tell them, this is your time and we can talk as little or as much as you want. I'm happy to answer any questions you have, but it's up to you. I will be saying a few things here and there, but other than that, the time is yours. Now, when I say that I'm going to be saying things here and there, I'll tell them important things. If I think they're sleeping, I really try not to say anything, but most people don't really, if they're going to fall asleep, most women don't anyways, but if they do fall asleep, most of them fall asleep after extractions. Because let's be honest, nobody can sleep through extractions. Actually, I did have one client sleep through extractions. It was quite impressive. But, you know, if I apply an enzyme in 99% of my facials, and when I put that on their skin, I don't care if they're a new client, I don't care if they've been a client that's come to me for 10 years, I need to know how this enzyme feels on their skin. So it's not just about looking, it's about asking. And so I always ask, does this tingle? How does this feel? You know, I need them awake for that. So that's when I need to talk to them because I need to know how their skin feels. Because sometimes people don't react, meaning their skin doesn't turn red. You can just see visible things. Some of it is just of a scale of 1 to 10, they're at a 10. Well, I don't want my client at a 10. So I need to know that. So that's the conversation that we have. If I'm going to do high frequency, which is a little zapper on acne, I'm going to tell them. I'm not going to surprise them with anything that they weren't expecting or that would scare them. I use my ultrasonic spatula. That's super gentle. It just vibrates on their skin. But I tell them that it's coming because some people are like, oh, what is that? So I like them to be informed. But if they choose to have quiet time, I respect that because it is not their job to entertain me. Okay, you're paying me. That's enough. You don't also then need to make the facial more enjoyable for me. I'm enjoying just doing the facial. So if you don't talk, I'm good. Like I got things in my head I can think about. I got to think about what we're doing during the facial. Anyway, like I'm good. And most estheticians should feel that way. You are not there to entertain them. I know some people have a hard time like with a massage and you know stuff like that. Like it's okay to just not talk. It's okay. That's how I feel. Like you should just be able to relax if you want. So most of my clients talk and most ask a lot of questions, especially on their first visit, but I want them to know that we can do it however they want. If you're just there to relax, meaning like a more pampering facial, then being quiet might be exactly what you want. If you are looking to improve your skin,
I would suggest take advantage of that time. Ask questions. Find out what's going on. Find out how you can improve your skin. That's at least an hour with your esthetician that you're paying for. So take advantage of her brain or his brain and get those questions answered. Also, my clients know what they will be paying. There are no hidden fees and no upgrades during the facial. Some will ask, some will say, what about microdermabrasion? Is that something I could need? Now, if they're asking the questions, then I will suggest, obviously, if I think they need the micro or if I think my ThermoClear machine, you know, that gets rid of the skin tags, those cherry angiomas, you know, different things on the face, I might mention something like that. If it comes up in conversation, I'm not going to just say, hey, it looks like you need a ThermoClear, or hey, it looks like you need microdermabrasion. Like, I don't want to do that. Now, unless we're already in a conversation and they're started talking about different things about their skin, if it's appropriate, I will mention it. That's what I'm trying to say. But I'm not going to, you know, just in the middle be like, hey, you want to do this for $20 more? I don't like that stuff. And when they do ask about upgrades, if they're talking about microdermabrasion or the ThermoClear, I am clear. I say, okay, this is what it costs. You think about it. You let me know. If there's time in the facial, usually there is before it gets to that stage of, you know, are we going to do that or not? But there's no pressure. I'm not like, well, decide right now. I'm like, it's extra money. I get it. Think about it. Or I say, we can always do it on your next facial. Take the pressure off. I don't want people to feel like they have to spend more money with me. You know, this is, again, their time. And I want them to be able to relax and enjoy it and not have that stress of like, oh my gosh, I just spent $100 more than I wanted to. Like, I don't want any of that. Let's talk about expectations when you go to get a facial. Keep them realistic. You're not going to go from, you know, 60 years old to 30 years old. You know, that's just not going to happen. For me, at least, my clients leave with their skin looking better than when they arrived. And that is no matter what kind of facial you get, except for microchanneling, which is not technically a facial anyway. But you're going to leave with your skin glowing. If you have a lot of extractions, then you might leave with a little redness, but I use two masks at the end of my facial. And so I do everything I can to bring that redness down, to bring anything that I caused in their facial. Because I want people to leave and feeling like they can face the world. I want them, you know, to be able to go back to work or to be able to go to their kids, you know, basketball game or whatever and not feel like, oh gosh, I hope, you know, nobody's, you know, looking at me or feel like they have to put on makeup or something. You definitely don't want to wear makeup after a facial anyway. So I want people to avoid that. Now, there are things that people will, and I'm extra careful around the holidays or extra careful in like summertime, but I'll ask people like, do you have anything coming up this weekend? You know, if I know we're going to do something a little stronger, I find out if their skin allows that or if their time allows that. I'm not going to just do what I think their skin needs without a conversation with my client. So really what I'm trying to say is communication is key. And communication is huge between your esthetician and yourself, your client, the client. Like you have to be able to talk to the person and you shouldn't feel embarrassed. You shouldn't, I mean, I understand you might at the beginning and that's perfectly, you know, understandable. But I mean, I do hope that everybody feels comfortable with me right away. I literally have no judgments. I just don't care. We all have our issues and mine just happens to be weight. And I would hate for, you know, me to go to like a weight loss clinic and people start, you know, saying bad things about me, making me feel worse. Like, I don't need that. I'm good. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't need, I can say all the bad things about myself. I don't need somebody else to say them for me, you know? So the same thing with your skin. I'm not there to make you feel worse. I'm there to make you feel better and to give you hope that your skin can improve because you know what? Your skin can improve. If you put the work in, your skin can improve.
This episode is brought to you by Saks.com. At Saks.com, it's easy to find your new vibe. Dive into the Western trend with gold cowboy boots from Staud or go full 90s throwback with platforms from Prada. You can shop for everything on your agenda, whether it's a breezy Zimmermann dress for a garden party or a bright Chloe blazer for brunch. Find inspiration for your new vibe every day at Saks.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
So when you go get a facial, have your expectations clear. Now, if you're there just to relax and you don't care about all the other stuff, then that's your expectation. That's your goal. Okay. So you're good. But if you're going there because you have acne and you want your skin to get better, then talk to your esthetician, ask questions, find out what you can do. Now, not everybody has the money to get monthly facials or use all the products or whatever. So make sure you're finding an esthetician that's going to work within your means of what you can do. Clients ask me all the time, do I have to get facials? Can I just do the skincare products or whatever? And I'm like, listen, if you can't afford both, which listen, times are hard right now, then don't. I always tell people products are better because a facial, I'm only going to see you, you know, at the minimum once a month, I'm going to see, or the maximum is once a month, I'm going to see you. That's one facial. That's one thing of skincare products getting on your skin. But if you have your good skincare products, then you're using them every morning and every night, and you're giving your skin those ingredients. That's what counts. And I don't require my clients, because especially, you know, because I do skincare coaching, I have clients all over the country. I don't expect people, I mean, I do expect people to know because I tell them that they can reach out to me. They can ask me questions. So just because somebody comes in and gets a facial and then doesn't come back for another 6 months, if they're purchasing products, I'm happy to help. I want to be there. I want your skin to improve. So the facial is not mandatory at all. Yes, does it help? Absolutely. But not everybody can do both. And that is totally okay. So go in with your expectations. Go in wanting to know what is going on during your facial. Know what you booked. Know what you signed up for and ask your esthetician. If she's not telling you what is happening, then ask her. Then just ask her, what did you just put on my face? Sometimes I'll get to talking with a client that's, you know, been a client for years and I'll forget and I won't say, hey, this is the enzyme we're using today, da da da. And so they'll be like, what are we using today? Oh, that smells good. What is that? You know, ask the questions. There's nothing wrong with that. And if there is a problem, if that esthetician gives you a problem, then you got to see another esthetician because nobody should be sneaky about what they're putting on your face. I have never heard that somebody was, but just covering all my bases here. So I think it's important to go in with your expectations clearly laid out. So the esthetician knows what you want and you have made yourself very clear. Other things during your facial. Extractions, I believe, should be part of every facial. And if they're not, it should be clearly stated. That's my opinion. That's not a fact. But I think extractions are really important. And I know they're a big part of why people come to get facials, because extractions aren't really something that people can do on themselves and honestly really shouldn't be doing on themselves. So for me, I do everything I can to prep the skin for extractions. I don't need this to be a torturous event for my clients. So I do everything I can to prep that skin, get it ready so the stuff comes out much easier. I don't force anything. Nobody is leaving with scars or scabs or anything like that. Okay. Like I said at the beginning, maybe your face could be a little red and just irritated, you know, where I had done the extractions for, you know, people that have a little bit more. That's going to be normal, but nothing that your skin should have to actually recover from, okay? And I've had many clients tell me, oh, that wasn't that bad, or you're much gentler than my last esthetician. So I know that I'm doing something right. Another thing that I think is important is really making your client feel comfortable. I'm pretty casual. I'm pretty laid back. I actually was told recently that somebody was trying a bunch of estheticians in the area, and she didn't go back a second time for a facial at another place because she thought they were too hoity-toity. And I don't think anybody would ever call me that. I'm real casual. I try to make everybody feel relaxed. And the place that I work in is pretty relaxed too. So I think that's important. Like I don't want people to feel like they're a stranger in my place. I want them to feel comfortable. I can't believe how many people give me hugs. I'm not a hugger, so I'm not inviting it in. They just feel the need to give me a hug. And I love it. It makes me feel so good that they are so comfortable with me that they want to give me a hug. And this is sometimes on the first visit. I've had people thank me because I listened to them, or I was patient with them, or I didn't make comments about their skin. Like, these are things that are happening. People are feeling bad about their skin and they don't want to go get another facial because of what their esthetician at one time had said to them. Okay. So, I mean, you know, you can go back to the story at the beginning that, you know, choose your words wisely. You just got to be careful because you don't know what's going to affect somebody and what is not going to affect somebody. So better just to be careful. So that's kind of it when it comes to a facial. A lot of places now can book online. Like, I'm one of those where you can book online. I have a facial, just a customized facial that most people book. And then that's when we get into the conversation of like, maybe they feel like they need something more. But if you don't know what to book, call and ask. You know, don't feel like you have to do this. Like, ask them, what do you think I need? These are my goals. What kind of facial should I get? Like, these questions are acceptable. Remember, it's your money. So that's pretty much it when it comes to, you know, getting your facial and what you should expect. I think the two most important things, communication and expectations. Okay. You should know what your face should look like when you come out. You should have a lot more information than you did going in. And I don't know, if you have any questions regarding any of that, please reach out. I'm here to help. So the other thing I wanted to talk about is, how do you find a good esthetician? I do get asked that because I do have a lot of clients in other states. And obviously, although it would be my dream to be a traveling esthetician, just be able to go state to state and do a bunch of facials. But since I'm not doing that, people are asking me like, do you know anybody or how do I find one? So I always like, I mean, if you're local, please come see me. Love to help you. But if you're not, then here are some suggestions. You can ask friends and family. Maybe ask those who have similar issues as you. Some estheticians specialize in certain skin issues like acne. So if your friend has acne, but you're concerned about aging, make sure her esthetician can help you too. Okay. Meaning, if you go to your friend's esthetician, but she is really good with acne, make sure she can do the anti-aging stuff too. Okay. Social media. Start following estheticians in your area. You'll get a feel for who they are and what they are about based on their posts. The three things that I hear most from my clients that they like about me is I'm always honest with them, especially with their skin. I'm not salesy, meaning I am not pushing products on them. And three, I educate them about their skin and the products. I don't just tell someone to use a serum. I explain why it's good for their skin. Think about what is important to you and look for that. Because I post so much on my social media, I do get a lot of comments. And when new clients book, of course, I'm always like, you know, how'd you find me? You know, whatever. And so many people are like, I just liked your vibe. I liked what you were about. I like what you said. You know, the honesty thing that I'm calling people out. Like, this is important stuff that people look for. So if you are an esthetician listening to this, you know, think about that when you're doing your social media. But as on the client side, that's what you want. You want somebody who matches who you are. Every esthetician has their own kind of aesthetic. Every esthetician has specialties. Every esthetician has just their way of how they approach things and talk to people. And so find somebody that works with you and your personality. Another thing is, visit their website. Everything I do is on my website, and that's going to tell you a lot about me, what I do, about my clients, and all of that. And most people have websites these days. Most estheticians will also offer a free consultation. This is usually when you will talk about your skin and your goals. If you like what they have to say and feel good about your experience, book a facial. Okay, so that's another way to kind of get a feel for somebody. Next tip, ask questions and be skeptical. This is your face and you shouldn't feel uncomfortable about asking questions. I had a client tell me once that she loved that I was so realistic when talking about her skin. I came up with a plan, got her on some good skincare products, and told her that we will get her to look the best her skin can look. Now, sometimes we watch TV or see our friends, you know, with perfect skin and think, I want that too. Here's the thing, your skin is never going to look like someone else's. So the goal should always be to get your skin looking its best. And that is always possible. Find an esthetician who isn't promising the moon, okay? Because that is the most important thing. And that's why I said my first tip is, you know, make sure you're going to an esthetician that specializes in or is good at what you need, not what your friend needs, because that could be extremely important in your goals. Check out review sites. You know, I used to say Yelp, but I really dislike Yelp. I think they poor business standards. But like Google has reviews on websites. There are reviews. You can even read comments on people's social media. That can tell you something sometimes. Just be careful because really everybody is an expert, right? So sometimes you got to take the reviews with a grain of salt. And usually you can tell if somebody just is feeling a little pissy that day and not being very nice. But that's one way to, I'd say it's not the best way. You know, really talking to friends and family and social media are the best ways, I think. But the most important thing, I think, is make sure you like the person. Spending an hour with someone is a lot, especially in an intimate setting. And this quite possibly could be the person that you are going to be spending a lot more time with, you know, and talking to. And if I didn't like the person, then I'm going to be like, oh, I don't want to do it. Or, oh, I need to ask her about this, but I don't really enjoy talking to her. So you end up not doing it and just forgetting about it or doing it wrong or whatever, because you don't like the person. So find somebody you like and somebody that works with your personality. I think that it's really, really important. I've heard some horror stories from my clients. It scares me what some people will do to the skin as a professional, but this is why doing your homework is so important, okay? So that's all my advice about facials, communication, expectations, finding someone you like. All these things are really important. And if you like going to your esthetician, you're more likely to get more facials and want to take better care of your skin. That's just how it works. And for me, I keep my phone open, you know, meaning that if people have questions, they're allowed to text me. They're allowed to send me emails. They can call me too, but I always suggest text and email. That way everything's written and they don't have to memorize what I'm saying. But I keep those lines of communications open because I want people to know that I am here for them. I am here to help. Now, I do have a separate business phone, so I can separate. Because people are like, I just, you know, I'll never get a day off or, you know, I'll never get time off or whatever. You still can. You just got to be careful with it. And I always tell people, listen, I have my phone on me, but there are times that I'm not going to respond right away. But I do my best. Okay. So there you go. That is all about facials. I hope you guys learned some things today. And as always, if you have any questions, please feel free to reach out. All right, guys, have a good week and I will talk to you next week. Thank you for listening today. Don't forget to follow me on social media at PureSkinOC. I post lots of skincare tips and videos. You can find me at TikTok, Facebook, and Instagram. And of course, you can always visit my website and my online store. If you're local and interested in receiving one of my treatments, all of my services are on there, and you can even book from there too. You can also find my skincare coaching if you want to have a virtual consultation with me so that I can help you with your skin. And lastly, but
so important. Don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast. Besides sharing it with your friends and family, this is the best way to help it grow. Thanks so much, and I hope you have a wonderful week. Until next time.